Dear Lord, open our hearts and our minds as this morning we travel back to Canaan, to a time between 1900 and 1500 years before Jesus' birth, to view the history of your people through the eyes of Reuben. Amen. You know what? I'm going to ask you to put the lights back up to setting one for this morning, please. Thanks. So it is good to be with you this morning. I am Reuben, firstborn son of Jacob and Leah. And I am honored that they asked me to come during this summer series that you are doing on Old Testament characters. There is so much I would like to tell you. As you heard, there are 25 chapters in the Bible about my family, but I wasn't given very much time. So I will just share some things with you. I believe I've heard that there is a term that you use called dysfunctional. And I heard that there are shows on TV that are called reality shows with families like, what was it, the car, somebody help me out. Kardashians, thank you. Yes, and I just want you to know none of those families have anything on our family. You know, my dad deceived his dad, my grandpa Isaac, and then his uncle Laban deceived him, and we got into a huge mess of deception and lying in our family. Now, one thing you need to know is that it was common back in those days to have more than one wife. I think that caused some problems, generally speaking, but particularly in our family, because not only did you have more than one wife, but men also had children with handmaids or servants of their wives. And my dad was tricked into marrying my mom, Leah, before he could marry her younger sister, Rachel, whom he truly loved. As you can imagine, that made things quite difficult for my mom, Leah. In fact, this is how the Bible announces my birth. The Bible said, God saw that Leah was unloved and opened her womb. Well, my mom gave birth to 5 more sons after me and my sister Dinah. And with each one of us, my mom hoped that Dad would love her even more. But that didn't really happen. And I felt bad for my mom. She had us, so that was good. But never had the love from my dad that she wanted. And because of that, I didn't feel as close to my dad as I would have liked to either. Now, of course, now that I'm older, and some of you know that with age comes wisdom and all that, that I better understand that you cannot force yourself to love someone, to fall in love with someone like my dad fell in love with Rachel. And so I really cannot blame him for not loving my mom in the same way. He was good to her. He took good care of her and cared for her. Just that kind of love was missing. And my dad also had 4 other sons with 2 handmaids. And then finally, my Aunt Rachel was able to give birth to a boy that she named Joseph. Let me tell you, my dad oohed and cooed and just, you would think that was the first baby boy he had ever held in his arms. Well, made me feel even further away from my dad. Aunt Rachel was given the blessing of one more boy, Benjamin. But Aunt Rachel died in giving birth to Benjamin, which really hit our family hard, especially my dad. Dad was never the same after that, and because of it, Joseph and Benjamin became even more important to my dad than ever. I found this book as I was walking through the offices here at church. It's called Bible Fun Book. And I opened it up, and here was a page of true or false statements on the story from Genesis, our family story, okay? Here's the first true or false. Jacob loved Reuben more than Joseph. You all know that one, right? Boy, was that false. Joseph was the favorite. I remember one day, well, you heard about it in your scripture. My dad sent Joe out to do some sheep herding with the other brothers of the handmaids. And what did he do when he came back? Tattled on them. Gave a bad report. He was such a tattletale. That was not surprising at all. We heard it all the time. And then there was the coat. I heard you folks made a musical. Well, maybe not you, but people made a musical about that coat. One interpretation of your Bible says that it was a coat made of many different colors. And another interpretation says that it was a coat made of many different pieces with long sleeves. Long sleeves was kind of a way for a robe to give honor and kind of lift up a boy to manhood. So you know what? All of that might have been true. I do not even remember for sure because my whole life I tried to forget what that coat ever looked like. Joseph would parade around in his coat, letting us all know how special it was. He was a spoiled brat. And then there were the dreams. Oh my goodness. Two of them. Two dreams in which he told us all of us were bowing down to him. As if that would ever happen. Really made us upset. In fact, a really strong jealousy grew inside of my brothers and me. And one day, we were out taking care of the sheep, and my dad sent Joseph out to check on us. I was off a little further away with the sheep, but my other brothers saw Joseph coming. And they talked with one another, and they said, you know, we've had enough of this. Let's kill him. Can you imagine killing our own brother Joseph? Well, when they told me about their plan, I said, well, let me tell you, first of all, what I should have said. What I should have said is, no, that's not right. You know better. Think about how much that would hurt Dad. You know right from wrong. I should have stood up. I should have been strong. But I lacked courage. And so I said to them, you know, there's that big pit right over the hill, that really deep one. Let's put him in there. He'll never get out of it, so we'll, you know, achieve the same goal, but we won't have to shed his blood. And they said, okay. See, now the reason I came up with that is because I was going to sneak back when my brothers weren't looking, and I was going to help Joseph out of the pit and save his life, and then everything would be fine. Only a lot of you know that's not what happened. Because before I had a chance to get over there and get Joseph out of the pit, there were traders, kind of merchants, that often passed through the fields on the way to other countries. And my brothers got a new idea. Let's make some money off of Joseph. So they took him out of the pit, took off that coat and kept it, and sold Joseph into slavery. Well, when I came back and found out, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't imagine anything so awful. Now what would we tell Dad? Well, back to the old plan. We'll take the coat, my brother said, and we'll put goat's blood on it. We'll kill a goat and put the goat's blood on it. And then we'll bring the coat back to Dad and we'll say, oh, look, we found this in the field. A wild animal must have gotten Joseph and dragged him away, and all that's left of it is his coat. So that's what we did. We lied and we deceived again. And I learned in my life that that is not the thing to do. I don't know how my brothers felt. I really am not sure. But for me, that did not work. I carried that guilt inside of me every day. Can you imagine coming back to our dad who had already lost his beloved wife, Rachel, and telling him that now his beloved son, Joseph, was dead? No one should have to go through that kind of pain. It was then that I made up my mind. I was never going to let anything happen to little brother Benjamin. Even if it meant giving up my own life, I would protect him and keep him safe for my dad's sake. Now I hope you know the rest of the story, how my brother ended up a slave in Egypt. And I have to admit, I'm proud of Joseph when I think about it now. I mean, one thing, my dad had taught us to trust in God, the God of Abraham, the God of our grandpa Isaac, to trust that God was with us and would help us whatever and wherever we were. And that's what Joseph held on to. And because God was with Joseph and helped him, he gave him the ability to move himself up from slavery to the second in command in Egypt, only second to the Pharaoh, and to save an entire nation through a tough famine. And you know what? Joe's dreams, they came true. I guess they were dreams from God. And they were real. Because that same famine came to us in Canaan. And my dad said, I heard that they have food down in Egypt. And our food had run out. And he said, why don't you go down and try to buy some food down in Canaan? So we did. And we ended up bowing before this great Egyptian leader. Now, we had no idea he was Joseph. I mean, he had grown up. He was dressed in Egyptian clothes. He spoke Egyptian. We had to have a translator. We had no idea. But Joseph knew. And he put the pieces together. And we came down a couple of times, and he would ask us questions like, do you have any other brothers at home? And we said, yeah, little brother Benjamin. And at one time he asked, is your dad still alive? We said, yes. And it seemed like over time, Joseph realized that we had changed. We were not the terrible brothers that we had been to him. And so Joseph said, I am your brother Joseph that you sold into slavery. Some of us were turning to run so fast, but before we could do that, Joseph stopped us. He said, and I have forgiven you. God has given me the ability to forgive you. I have learned that even in the midst of the most terrible things, God can pull out some good. And that has happened in my life. I can tell you have changed. Can you imagine the load that was lifted from my shoulders? Do you realize that this is the first time that I experience such grace and mercy in my life? You know, you New Testament believers, you are very, very lucky. What we had to hold on to back in Genesis was faith in a promise, in promises of things to come, things that we would never even know, promises we never saw fulfilled. We had no Savior. We didn't understand how loving and forgiving our God really was. But you do. You know that even if you sell your brother or lie to your father, God will forgive you. I'm kind of jealous of that, too. The joy that I experienced when Joseph said that he didn't hold our sins against us and he hugged me. I mean, he really gave me a big hug. That kind of joy can be yours every day of your lives. The greatest day of my life, even greater than the day Joseph said that he forgave me, was the day that we brought my father down to Egypt. And my dad could see that Joseph, his beloved son, was still alive. But mixed in that joy was the pain he felt, knowing that for 25 more years than that, he could have spent time with his son and was not able to because of the scheme that we had planned. I pray that you will find a way to forgive all the spoiled brats in your life. I hope you don't have to wait as long as I did to be reunited. I pray that you can be like Joseph, who had every reason to carry a grudge and hate us forever, and yet reached out to us who had wronged him and shared God's love and forgiveness with us. You know, I guess that even though there's over 3,500 years difference in time between my family and yours, some things haven't changed. So thanks again, and God bless and keep you. Goodbye.